This is the Wall Street Shuffle.
I love producing on the fly and coming back with a little journey. You gotta love that. Welcome back to the Wall Street Shuffle.
When it was here, oh no.
I'm the only dude that can do Journey justice. I just want to just throw that out for the rest of the Metroplex to know. Welcome back to the Wall Street Shuffle. You got Chris Renfro here filling out the rest of this segment in place of Mr. Dan Kofall. And we've got Shane in the box. And on the line with us now, I'm so intrigued by the title of this book, I can't wait to hear what you have to say. We've got Mr. Jack Myers, chairman of the Media Advisory Corporation and author of Hooked Up, A New Generation's Surprising Take on Sex, Politics, and Saving the World. How are you, my friend?
Good, Chris. Thanks for inviting me to join you today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm again, intrigued by this because I'm assuming that we're talking about, like, Generation X, Generation Y. What are we talking about?
Actually, Chris, is that there's no such thing as millennials. Millennials are typically described as the generation born around from 1982 to 2002 or 2005. And right in the middle of that came the introduction of the internet in 1993. And what I set out to do was to see the differences between the pre and the post 93 generations, the pre and the post internet. And what I found was this extraordinary 5-year window born 91 to 95 that are a bridge generation. So my book is really all about this generation born 91 to 95, the first group of which graduated college last year, and the youngest group of which entered college last year. So it's really a fascinating group that's in college right now today.
Okay, so I am going to test you on this generation because I have one of these individuals.
I love it. I love
meets
it.
Meets that, born in 93.
Perfect.
So,
and boy or girl?
Boy.
All right.
And he's in his second year of college.
Terrific.
So,
well, what I've found is that the greatest feedback I've had since the book came out has been from both parents and the kids themselves, who are really finding that the book has become a way for them to talk about issues from politics, religion, sexuality, jobs and careers, to media and advertising. And it's really become a connecting link between parents and their kids.
Okay, well, let's break it down. What are their take on? Let's start off with politics. We'll save sex for last. Seems to always be a hot topic. What's their take on politics?
Yeah, on most issues, this is a generation that follows progressive politics. They've spent their whole lives with living economic chaos and disruption, social upheaval. The most formative experience in their careers in their lives has been 9/11. So their politics tend to be very influenced by the internet and the fact that they've socialized on the internet. On the internet, you're not judged by anything but the quality of your ideas, your creativity, and your ability to communicate them effectively. You're not judged by the color of your skin. You're not judged by your gender. You're not judged by your appearance. And therefore, as they vote, and as they get involved in political issues, they tend toward very progressive. Now, of course, there's that 20% of them that are more conservative in their politics, but the majority of them not only vote progressively, but they vote, and that's the most important thing. I was one of the few people out there pre-election saying that, contrary to most beliefs, that this is a generation that wouldn't vote in the past election. I predicted they would not only vote, but vote in larger numbers than 4 years ago, and in fact, that turned out to be true.
No, I think you're right. I think I know from my son's own situation and his friends, they all voted. They looked forward to voting. They looked forward to trying to develop an opinion. Now, what I saw was a generation of individuals that were highly influenced by people like professors and the like. What are your take? What's your take on that?
I really don't see that, frankly. In fact, they've grown up with a sense of equality because online, whether you're a celebrity, whether you're a corporate CEO, a professor, a teacher, you're an equal. And they go into their experiences, whether it's in the classroom or in jobs, perceiving themselves as equal to their experience, to those who are in superior positions. And also because they've grown up with such incredible economic and political disruption, they've grown up learning to question religious leaders, educators, athletes, celebrities. They don't hold them in the same kind of respect or regard as even those a few years younger, older than they are. So there's differences between those who are 26 and 27 years old, who we tend to think of as more traditional millennials, a little more spoiled, a little more of a me generation. Like, this is a very non-me generation. This is a generation with their heads down, working hard. They're the first generation to grow up not thinking they're going to be more successful than their parents, knowing how challenging it's going to be, and they're really focused on their future and focused on working hard.
Let me ask you, as far as that goes, because I might have experienced differently than what you're talking about. Where is your focus group? What geographic market are you discussing?
Right. The study we did was nationally representative across the country. It was 1,000 kids done online by a professional research company. We focused on students who were either planning to go to college or in college. What I found was that there were very few, if any, either regional differences, ethnic differences, gender differences. They tend to be a very cohesive cohort in their thinking. This hooked up generation, as I call them, are, and of course we should, Chris, because of the way you opened our conversation, we should talk about the name and the title of the book, Hooked Up, because it's intentionally ambiguous, and frankly this generation uses that term purposely to be ambiguous, so we as parents don't know actually what they're doing, but I found them to be a very consistent in their belief that they want to really make a contribution in their lives, that they want to be committed to things that they're passionate about, believe in, and believe are important to both themselves and the world. And what's great, I think, about them, among many things, is that they actually get along with their parents, and their parents get along with them. And I hope you find that with your son, Chris. A number of them say that after college they plan on moving back into their homes, and what's even more stunning is that the parents don't seem to mind that.
Well, no, I have a fantastic relationship with my sons, and what you just said is scary to me, because 65% of graduating college students are moving back in because they can't find jobs.
Right, and the other 65% number that I'll toss out to you is that 60% of college graduates over the next decade will be female. Females will be increasingly important and dominant in all facets of life, from corporations to organizations, institutions, education, religion. We're really going to be moving toward a much more female-centric world, and with more and more female influence on any number of areas in our lives.
Yeah, and I guess I'm having a little bit of a hard time, because my son, when he went to college and he was there for his after his first full year, we got into a political conversation about whether he was Republican or Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of trying to give him what my points of view on a conservative point of view would be, I asked him a series of questions. How does it make you feel when you see X, Y, and Z? And the more he thought about what he sees in his own environment, the more he came to the conclusion that, well, Dad, I think I'm a Republican. And I'm like, well, that's the perfect choice. You know, I didn't help him make it.
Not surprised, but you know what surprises me is that he was even willing to define himself as either a Democrat or a Republican, because increasingly they're refusing to align themselves with any political party. They're so disturbed by the polarization of politics on both sides that they really focus on each individual issue. and they more increasingly refuse to look at those issues as being aligned or not aligned with a political party. It's aligned with how they feel and what they're emotionally connected to, and they will vote those issues. I think what we're also seeing is that they're more likely to vote different issues than you and I might vote. They might be a little less influenced by some of the economic issues because of the realities of their lives and that they're confronting, and a little more likely to vote on issues related to human rights, related to gun control, related to some of the more polarizing issues that we see on the landscape today.
Yeah, and I guess I would be a little concerned if you only took a poll of 1,000 students, that maybe geographically, if you went far south versus far northeast, you could get a totally different perspective.
No, not really. I mean, that's certainly an argument, and I worked very closely with the research company, and I've been doing research in the for more than 30 years, so it was nationally representative, and I did have enough so that we were able to drill down and even pull out by state and look at how California was different than Texas, or how New York was different than Alabama, and we had enough of a representative sample, according to the research company, to make those judgments. And on most issues, and obviously there are differences, but overall, I found in the important issues, we found a fairly cohesive group. Now, certainly we'd see on some issues in the Deep South more of a conservative spin. And in obviously New York, California, and Massachusetts, we saw more of a progressive or liberal spin on some of the topics. But overall, my takeaway is that whatever the politics, we've got a generation graduating college over the next several years that's a generation of future leaders, a generation of builders, a generation that understands the last 20 years and how challenging it's been in society and culture, and is our first window and our prism and through which we can see the future generation of internet natives who are increasingly going to be living and defining and designing their lives online.
Well, Jack, I'm sorry, we're running out of time and we didn't get to the sex question, but I've got to wrap it up, and I do appreciate you for coming on with us, and maybe we can visit with you again.
Hooked up on Amazon.com. Thank you for allowing me to chat with you today.
Absolutely, and hookedupgen.com, jackmyers.com. You can find him on the web also. All right, coming up after the break, we'll hear from Shane and see what he's got in his satchel. Stay with us on the Wall Street Shuffle.